Good morning. Today is Monday, December the 2nd. I could say something like, what happened? But I don't think you know what happened either, huh, to the year?
I don't know. Woke up one morning and we're at the end of it.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh.
And every year that passes, the following year seems to...
Oh, no, I was thinking, how much have I forgotten this year? In addition to everything else, Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson is here. Another guy who's learned to forget many things.
It can be convenient at times.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are you? Oh, but it doesn't really help out when it comes to
why do we say it? That?
Yeah, yeah. So we have got Kris Kringle. How did Santa Claus get the name Kris Kringle?
I have a feeling you're about to tell me.
I think so, and this is our last K, so we'll move on. You get to help push us across that line. Any clue? Any thought?
Drawing a complete blank at the moment.
All right. Through an error, we use this term to mean Santa Claus, the patron saint of Christmas, because it comes from the German name for Christ child, Christoline.
Speaking of Christmas, I've got my decorations and lights up already.
Oh, you hot dog. Well, you know the tree out in front never has the lights come down. So that's, you know, the white lights in the tree. That's kind of my lazy guy excuse for that. No, this weekend, we're going to go get a tree. Stefan is going to try to drive home from Lincoln, leaving today. You figure out the intelligence. He must have got my side
on maybe that be one. Between huh? storms.
Yeah, that's what he was saying, is that, don't worry, Dad. In Wyoming, I-80 was opened yesterday at 2. Great. Over the Continental Divide?
Right.
Yeah. But at least they are going to get changed, so at least he has half of a chance there to make it. What do the holidays mean for EPD?
You know, it always feels like it's about the busiest time of year, and not just, you know, with package theft or... You know, the other kind of typical concerns you get around the holidays where you seem to see an uptick in theft, again, packages off of front porches, from mailboxes. Presents left in vehicles is always a big one, so you want to be sure to secure those in your trunk out of sight.
The porch thing is the most disturbing one, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's the violation of somebody who you don't know or who isn't invited coming on the property, but then coming on the property and taking. It's like, you know, it's... Christmas decorations on the lawn.
Yeah, it's
okay,
another level of violation, certainly.
Yeah.
With all the Ring doorbell cams that are out there these days, though, there's a lot of good footage coming to light when that happens.
And somebody was saying that those aren't the best things in the world because they can be hacked. And then I don't know what that means. Does that allow you to get in, or maybe some of the keyless ones that allow you access?
Just about anything can ultimately get hacked, but if you follow some common sense, you know, measures with your passwords and some other steps they recommend, usually the risk is pretty low. But
so like S. Watson family would not be the wisest thing to do.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Password.
Yeah.
More concern though is applications like Alexa with Amazon or Siri that are always listening to you constantly. And they're becoming embedded in more and more fixtures in homes. And so sometimes a person stops to think about that level of potential intrusion. That's a concern.
Well, if you don't hear any noises,
right?
Gee, maybe there's nobody at home, huh? I mean, that stuff is a little unsettling. I've got a number of folks who do it. We haven't gone there yet, and they unplug it. Yeah, and then when they want it, they plug it on. Now I don't know how long it takes for it to reboot, but
it's like
computers with the little cameras buried in them.
You know? Right. Technology can be a double-edged sword, certainly. I have a camera that I can review remotely at home, at least one, but it's motion-triggered, and so you get an alert, and then you can tap the screen and see if it's a delivery person or... your cat wanting to come inside, or worse.
Are you sitting there watching your cell phone or your TV all the time?
I go nowhere without my cell phone / basically it's a personal computer these days.
Oh, but I just leave it up, and if it rings and I'm in a spot where I want to go to get it, then I do. Not quite as critical as you. Okay, fine. Thanks.
It's hard to unplug.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. So you guys are kind of busy this time of the year. The porch thing, the stealing of the, I don't want to say knickknacks because that kind of diminishes it, but let's say the personal items that are outside that we use for decorations. Is that worth even sharing? I mean, you know, if it's like a $300 one of those blow-up things, like the snowman, you know, the 10-foot snowman or the Grinch or whatever the current cool thing is. Is that worth even bothering you guys with, or are you just kind of make a note? And
well, that's always a very personal decision. There's absolutely no suspect information, no video footage. There's no serial number, serialized item that we can track. It might not be. You know, a lot of times, you know, you have... You can, if you've ordered an package for Amazon, for instance, and it disappears before it gets to you, sometimes you have recourse through that route. But we do try to remind people. In fact, we just put a press release out, I think, a week or so ago about what to do with your packages, trying to time deliveries either to where send them time to your home or to a location.
Send them where you work. Right. You know, I don't know any – well, I probably do and don't realize that I know, but – you know, if one of the officers had something delivered to the department because nobody was at home, you going to get twisted about that?
Generally, no. Now, if you get at the workplace with no place to...
Well, you take it home that night, business, yeah. But, or if it's a live animal that is meat-eating, right. Okay, I get
many
that,
employers are comfortable with that, and they're glad to do that.
Yeah.
And there's also, I can't remember what they're calling them now, but they have, like, Amazon, for instance, and some of these other companies, they have designated places where you can go and pick up your packages and have them delivered to. So there's a handful of those. I think we just released those to right. the public as a reminder. So a safe, secure place to have your packages delivered to.
It's interesting, and I don't know much about this stuff, but that there is a secondary market for this stuff. I mean, if they're grabbing it for their personal use, okay. I don't know too many guys that could fit into what we wear. Okay, fine. If they need it that bad, yeah, all right, whatever. But just to steal it and then, or take it and then throw it away.
Maybe
or not
it's
be
a form of regifting.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't thought about one particular neighbor who
my shopping's
might be inclined to do something like that and then put a bow on it and give it back to me. Oh, that's a great idea.
Most of the theft is fueled by the same factors that fuel theft.
Drugs.
All year long, yes.
Yeah, okay. Do you see more use of drugs this time of the year? I know there's more alcohol consumed, you know, with some of the parties and stuff, but with the legalization of marijuana and some of the edibles and things of that nature, have you seen in the last year, did you see any kind of a bump at all in that kind of stuff?
You know, that's an interesting question. I don't have any data right now that I can lean back to and go, yes, during this specific time of year, we see an increase in drug use.
What does your gut say?
Yeah. I think my gut says that stress increases around the holiday season as well as festivities.
Sure.
So that could lead to a logical increase in alcohol use, like you said, or recreational drug use. We certainly feel like you see an uptick in suicides or you know, people that are despondent and so suicidal subject calls. Though it's interesting, I just read a study last week that seems to indicate that's not the fact, but at least locally it feels like that. I don't know, again, because of increased stress, finances, you know, maybe if there's a broken family situation and that this becomes more acute when you're alone. We just had a call last week that was pretty frightening. It was a man that was threatening suicide, was armed with a firearm and had several guns, had a firearm per the caller who was a family member, and had made some kind of comments that kind of indicated that he would fire at the cops or at least make the police have to shoot him. And so I heard that call and responded as well. I got there right after our officers had already successfully resolved it without any use of force. I was very proud of them. But those were very frightening calls, you know, and there were a number of family members home at the time as well. So it was a recipe for a very dangerous and tragic situation. Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way.
What was there a triggering event?
I don't know the details. I know that we placed him on what's known as a 5150 hold, so an involuntary mental health detention, and
that's Semper Violence,
collected
right?
All of the firearms pursuant to the law for safekeeping.
Hey, I heard one last night, and I guess, is it Ohio? Cunningham was talking about it, that there is a piece of legislation in two or three states now where it's illegal to be drunk and in possession of a firearm. Pretty logical, right? Kind of makes sense. You don't want, like, somebody had set this guy up where he was at home and had a couple of beers and was taking his shotgun unloaded from one part of the house to the other. The cop knocked on the door. The wife let the cop in. You know, they were just kind of talking, and he walked by, said, "Are you drunk?" He said, "Yeah." Got arrested. It's like, are you kidding me?
And that, sounds a little questionable.
Yeah, yeah, and that this is going to be, you know, part of the movement. And I was thinking, okay, we've heard about man in his castle, right? What does that extend to, or what does that not include if you're inside your house?
Well, if you go to purchase a firearm and you fill out the forms that you're required to fill out, one of the questions has to do with whether essentially you're addicted.
Are you a drug
yeah.
user?
Well, yeah, but if you're you're prohibited from purchasing the firearm.
Which would make sense.
Or owning or possessing.
Yeah, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. 2 years almost?
Just over 2 years.
Yeah.
It was official the middle of October of 2017.
Talk about blink and go, huh?
Right. And we've been pretty busy over those 2 years.
But, yeah. Well, I would think anybody in an administrative position would be busy just doing, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's not this, it's that, and if it's not that, then it's budget.
Very true.
Yeah, it's an ugly cycle, isn't it?
It's also very satisfying to be able to accomplish a number of things that needed to be accomplished. That I feel like leaves our department and our community in a better place than it was 2 years ago. But it never ends. There's always more to be done, and you can always do better.
What's the biggest issue right now that you're playing with that would surprise people? You know, everybody knows about drugs. Everybody knows about the homeless. Okay, fine. You know,
well, you're
speeding.
Checking off all the boxes right there.
The surprise thing. What would be something that people go, really? Wow.
I'd have to ponder that one, I think, a little bit longer in terms of surprises.
All right. Well, you got 5-6 minutes on this segment. Because I suspect that a lot of people don't grasp some of the things that you guys have to play with. Whether it's the guys monitoring the trails in the parks. Yeah. What? Oh, okay. Yeah, things of that nature. People breaking into empty homes and living in them. So, you know, I don't know if that happened in the 60s. Maybe
there's a laundry list of issues, but when you are a department of our size and you handle around 70,000 calls for service a year, you know, we're very busy. And so, you know, the things that tend to get people's attention, like the homeless-related quality of life and crimes or the perception thereof, obviously are one of the biggest issues, and drugs go hand in hand with that because many of the homeless are addicted or mentally ill, but not all. But people tend to kind of lump everything together sometimes.
Sure.
But that seems to be a major focal point. You know, you drive through Eureka down the major thoroughfares and you see a lot of people that appear to be homeless, but there's a lot more that takes place in a city the size of Eureka in any given day.
That's why I'm curious what we see, okay, wandering the streets or walking the streets. Is that the tip of the iceberg? Is that 50%? I mean, now that there's not a single location, how does that stuff play around? I mean, what is that a barometer of?
A lot of it is perception, and people make inferences. The homelessness is very visible. It's in your face. You see it everywhere, and certainly not just in Eureka. I mean, name a city, especially a coastal city on either end of the country. And when you're carrying all your possessions with you, you tend to stand out even more. And so that plays a lot to people's fear and the perception of crime and disorder in their community. And certainly the homeless community is responsible for a high number of calls for service and a fair share of crime and disorder-related complaints, but certainly not all, and not necessarily most, depending on what the type of issue is. We deal with abandoned vehicles or people parking on the street more than 72 hours, which is a violation of our municipal code.
Is there a lot of that? A lot of abandoned cars? I mean,
Our volunteer team is just absolutely fantastic. They are well over 1,300 vehicles towed in the last 2 or 3 years already. But it's a never-ending.
So about one a day? Two a day? I mean, it seems like an awful lot.
It is. The amount of work they do is literally amazing. And they do it all volunteer. And Eureka would look a lot different right now without their efforts. But that is another source of complaints. It's another one of those kind of low-level nuisance-related things. But if someone's parked in a spot for an extended period, that spot isn't available for the rest of the public to use.
They don't tend to be the latest model of Mercedes.
No, especially the ones that are abandoned.
Yeah, so it's not adding to the feeling of the neighborhood. It tends to be on the other end.
Right.
Of the spectrum.
And then we have, our fair share of domestic violence incidences and assaults and the myriad of thefts. And, we just had a couple of stabbings, which we
saw. Yeah, what was that about?
Well, which one? There's been a couple. But again, that's par for the course of a city that's functionally 50,000 or so in daytime.
I thought you were going to say dysfunctional 50,000.
No, I mean, crimes occur, everywhere. But
yeah,
Eureka
but
is a busy city.
Yeah, for a small little burg like ours, shootings. I mean, it's the thing that I almost said tweaks me. But I shan't. From Tennessee, from Mississippi, from Georgia. How'd they find us and then get involved? Obviously, we know how. But it just seems curious that so many of the criminal activities that result in police reports aren't of people of the area.
But we also do have quite a few of our own homegrown issues as well. Eureka is a dynamic, beautiful city that I truly feel has, there's a lot of hope for the future. I think we're heading in the right direction a lot of areas, but we still have pressing concerns. We still have crime rates in some areas that are higher. For sure, we'd like to see zero crime, but that's not going to happen. But, you know, higher per capita than we definitely would like to see. And, you know, so there's a lot of work to be done. You know, the drugs are a big part of that. And our drug task force with the county is doing an excellent job trying to stem the flow of methamphetamine and heroin into the county. But
are
as long
the
as
two,
there's
the two
demand. Yeah, meth and heroin are probably the more. I mean, alcohol is also a major problem. Obviously.
Yeah, but we don't have that many stills.
Well, not from that. The alcohol-fueled crimes and public intoxication. But the in terms of hard drugs, methamphetamine and heroin, in my opinion, remain two of the most serious. And when you say with heroin, that also includes synthetic opioids like fentanyl.
So you didn't think you had to take chemistry when you went through high school, did you?
Yeah, kids, pay attention. It could come in handy.
Yeah.
But don't become a Walter White or whatever.
No. You know, I still kind of have issues with that whole series, the glorification of. But, right. You know, at least he was out in the desert instead of in the middle of the Redwoods. Yeah, it could brought a whole other level of tourism here. Huh?
So you asked about the last stabbing.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I think it is important to note that your average law-abiding citizen is not usually the one that's wrapped up in these violent person crimes. It tends to be more at-risk populations, like among the addicted, the homeless. You know, some of it is drug-fueled crime. The one we were just referring to what involved individuals in the homeless community.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 E Street, Eureka, the Prosperity Center, or find us on the web. The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Small Business Development Center. We're here for you.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, so what are we looking at here as we go into the wet season? Quote, unquote, the wet season. Are there going to be the homeless shelters or, I forget, it goes back to when Bonnie Neely was a supervisor and they had the declarations and then things were set up. Have those locations been determined already?
Yeah, there's... For instance, the Arcata House Partnership, I think, opened up as an emergency shelter during the worst of the weather this last. We have Eureka Rescue Mission, Betty Chin's, and options like that in Eureka with plans for overflow or vouchers when needed in some cases. So that's something in partnership with those entities. And the City of Eureka, Eureka Main Street, the county, Department of Health and Human Services. And so this last go around, I think it was reported that the family side of the rescue mission's shelter had to turn some people away. So that prompted some questions by one of our council members. And so staff dug in a little bit deeper, reached out with the stakeholders on that, and came up with some options in that case. So then there are some overflow agreements with St. Vincent de Paul. Though, again, I think we ran into a little bit of a hiccup on that just this last storm with exactly how to activate that. So, yes, there are some resources available. Certainly, I think when the weather gets the worst, that's when you start to see these places like the Mission actually reach capacity, where much of the year there's always been, at least a few beds, at least on the men's side, available that aren't being used, which is kind of another interesting situation.
Something is being shared there. Some message is being said. What it is, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, okay. Do we have enough capacity in our area?
I think there's no question we could use more than we have, or at least more readily accessible, especially on for women and families. And then some of these, they don't allow couples. So, yes, if you walk across the street, you're going to get a bed and all of that, but you won't be able to spend the evening together. And I guess that comes down to decision. But I think we could still use more. But even more importantly is when you're looking at long-term solutions is, you know, what kind of affordable housing is available and how can we get these people stabilized and whatever finances are needed in order to be able to place them into this housing so they're not in the streets and there isn't a need for temporary shelter.
Yeah, for the
or even transitional shelter.
For the folks that are interested in it, yeah. That's it. See you down the road and Merry Christmas. I mean, it is a Merry Christmas show. Holy cow. See everybody tomorrow.